Mo Mai, Heidi Mai, Ki Tēnei Hōtaka. Welcome to the panel. RNZ National, Kia Mau Tōna Mai Koutou Katoa, coming up on the program. More support announced today to help shops from ram raids. Will it be enough? Will it work? Sandringham Business Association Chair joins us as a suburb hit hard by the smashing in of shop fronts. Significant news in the Pacific. China wants 10 small Pacific nations to endorse a sweeping agreement covering everything from security to fisheries. Now, that would include the Pacific's lucrative tuna catch. We discussed that. New rules for school uniforms, an effort to make uniforms more inclusive. But is it time to just end uniforms once and for all? They're so expensive. 19-year-old Mali Atu changed schools rather than cover up his tato. He joins us on the panel. And wolf whistling. Quite a conversation happening in the UK right now, whether or not wolf whistling should be banned. About time or completely over the top? Our manahiri this afternoon, Moata Tamaira, writer and librarian based in Otatahi. Kia ora, Moata.
Kia ora, Wallace.
And we also have, not quite sure if he's with us yet, but he's in Australia. Phil O'Reilly is a business leader, MD of Iron Duke Partners, and he is. Phil, are you there?
Yes, I am, Wallace. I'm here. G'day, mate. That's the Australian version of it, isn't it? G'day, mate. Hope you're well. Cook a prawn. That's on.
On the Barbie. On the Barbie. Where are you, Phil?
I'm in downtown Sydney. Beautiful day here. A lovely, lovely spot to be. Doing a bit of work and a bit of play. Good fun.
Lovely to have you both on. Well, Phil O'Reilly, Moata Tamaira with us this afternoon. Now, returning to the story where an 18-year-old gunman shot 19 children and two teachers in Uvalde, Texas, in a massacre that has ripped open the nation's deep divisions over gun violence. And I just want to play a slightly longer version of this clip featuring NBA legend Steve Kerr, because he so deftly sums up the issue at hand.
Not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here. And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power.
Now, many of us just cannot get our heads around some of these gun laws, but American political protection for guns is unique. With us is Shannon Hughes Caldwell in El Paso, Texas, a long way from Uvalde, 800 k's west, but with us, and thanks for staying up late, Shannon, for us.
Oh, thank you, Wallace. I'm actually in Houston, which is just as far away, but obviously with something as tragic as this, it feels too close.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially as a parent, it's every parent's nightmare, and something that, you know, so with a couple of days left of school, you just doesn't really bear thinking about. The flags were down at half-mast around Houston for the racist massacre in Buffalo, and it seems like we only got the flags back up, and now they're back down at half-mast again for the latest massacre. So it's, you know, really stressful and sad, and it's pretty overwhelming.
And especially resonating with you also, Shannon, because I understand that your son's intermediate school had a shooting threat last week. In fact, just yesterday, police at your school.
Yeah, well, in the aftermath of the latest school shooting, all of the schools in Houston have extra police at them. So when I dropped my son off this morning, there were actually three sheriff cars there But on Friday of last week, a former student from the school made a threat to say they were going to, you know, come to the school with a gun and shoot the school up. They sent pictures of themselves with a gun to current students, and the current students showed the text messages and photos to the teachers. The teachers took it seriously, thank goodness, and the police were sent around to the student's house. And it's my understanding from the communications from the school that that person is now facing criminal charges.
Yeah, keep going, Shannon.
I was just going to say there's a see something, say something policy in the schools, and the, you know, it's horrible that the children have to deal with this and that the teachers and admin people have to deal with it. But, you know, in that particular circumstance, it worked, and I'm so glad it worked.
My goodness.
You know, it's awful that our kids have to, you know, four times a year mandated by law, they have to do lockdown practice. And it's terrible they have to think about this, isn't it? And
yeah.
It has to be part of their school life. But I am grateful that within our school system, the see something, say something system worked.
See something, say something system. All right, Shannon, we have a panel with us. Mawata, your thoughts, questions.
Well, this brings up actually feelings for me as well, because on the 15th of March 2019, when we had the terrorist attacks on the mosques here in Christchurch, my son had just started school a few weeks beforehand, and their school was locked down for several hours because it's just down the road from one of the mosques. So it's not the same, but I have just a tiny, tiny insight to what it's like knowing that there's somebody on the loose with a gun, that your child is at school and you can't get to them. And it's honestly one of the worst moments of my life as a parent so far. And he was fine, you know. He doesn't remember it. But even just thinking about it, I can, you know, I feel a little bit sick to my stomach, but because that is just how much it will affect you. So I'm imagining, Shannon, that it's not been an easy time for you either.
No, it's, you know, the phone, I was at work today and the phone rang and I saw in my phone that it was my son's school ringing, and I thought, oh my goodness, what now? But, you know, there were three police at the school and I just thought, gosh, it can't, you know, can't be the worst nightmare, it just can't be. So I listened to the recorded message and they were telling us that today a student made some inappropriate comment at school in front of other students and a teacher. And so that that child was taken out of school and is being disciplined through the school system for making inappropriate comments about the situation.
Goodness.
They had to ascertain as to whether what the kid was saying was serious or not, and so they went through this whole process. But, yeah, it's definitely, I can't wait until Thursday lunchtime when I'll be picking both my children up from school, and then they'll be having a lovely long 2 month summer holiday.
And also,
in terms of the audio that you played about the speaker being tired, I think a lot of parents here are tired.
Yeah.
I mean, last year we had all of the disruptions with COVID, and children were doing online learning. And the year before, we had, you know, COVID disruptions. People were off school, they were back in school, they were online, and so this school year was the first time our children were still wearing masks and COVID is still around, but it was kind of a more of a normal school year in a way. And so to have it kind of finish like this, it is really shocking and upsetting. And, you know, it's funny, I know other parents are feeling just as sick and sad, and it's almost like we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. It's kind of too much to think about. We don't want to talk about it with each other because we just kind of want it to go away.
Shannon, thank you so much for your time. I know it's very, very late there. So, I really appreciate you sharing your story and just being with us this afternoon on the panel.
Absolutely. Thank you, Wallace.
That is Shannon Hughes-Caller, Kiwi in Houston there, not that far from the town of Uvalde in Texas. Just bringing you in just briefly on this, Phil, just absolutely shocking what we've seen there. And again, just coming back to Steve Kerr's comments, enough.
Exactly. And when I read the website yesterday afternoon, you just lose your breath. You think, oh my God, again? It's just, what's going on? How can we how can we accept that? And you look at the, I've seen some of the statistics this morning comparing these shooting incidents with the US and anywhere else in the world. And it is a uniquely, almost a uniquely US issue, this, the regularity of this. So, you know, every time we hope that we'll have a debate about gun control in the US that might sort things out, and we don't appear to be able to have it. And I think the Prime Minister's actually done exactly the right thing to not wade into it, you know, is that, you know, here's what we do in New Zealand sort of stuff. We need to support the US process to try and come up with the right answers for them. But it just blows your mind, doesn't it, that this the civilized country allows that to happen. It's just extraordinary.
Time for I've Been Thinking. I think, Moata, you wanted to go second, didn't you? So, Phil, take it away, your IBT.
Yeah, well, I've been in Australia for the last couple of days, and what I've been thinking about, you know, there's just been an election, of course, last weekend, and you've got a brand new government here, and I thought, well, you know, what lessons can we learn from what happened here for New Zealand in, you know, 12 to 14 months' time? And it's hard to say there's just one lesson, of course, and Australia is a very different country to New Zealand these days. But one thought I had, which was very clear, is that, you know, the voters tend to bank the good things that happened previously, and they tend not to give you too much credit for them. And, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, it's arguable that Australia did at least as good a job as New Zealand in terms of, you know, minimizing deaths and so on and closing borders and all that sort of stuff. But of course, the public in here, certainly here in Sydney, has just moved on from COVID, and they now have much other things I want to talk about. And Morrison got absolutely no credit for that arguably good job he did, and I think it was a good job he did over COVID because the public had banked it. So that, you know, I was thinking, gee, that's interesting in terms of the New Zealand situation as well.
All right, kia ora, Phil, Phil O'Reilly there, and I've been thinking, Moata Tamaira.
So, well, so I usually come on here and I talk about something very frivolous like pockets. But I just in the last wee while, I've just been becoming more and more frustrated, annoyed, and actually, yes, angry when I hear people like the leader of the opposition or various business talking heads type people say that we're post-COVID or that we're through, under, around, out of COVID now. Because I look around and that's not what I see. I know six people in the last week who have come down with COVID. So it feels very much like, and I feel like I have to justify the statement as if this isn't me making it up. It really is still quite a lot of COVID around the place. And I would just like those people who are saying those things to just remove their heads from their collective rear ends and just take a look around, because we're not through. We are very, very much in it. And it makes, I think it's disrespectful to all of the people who are daily losing loved ones. All of the people like me who have underlying conditions, so we don't go and do all of the things that we would maybe like to do. People with disabilities who are very much restricted in the things that they can do because it's just too much of a risk for them. It is very enraging to then hear people say, oh, yeah, but it's over now. It's love just not.
No, I'd love to hear Alice's thoughts on both what Moata and Phil have been discussing there. You can text me 2101, and there is a lot to discuss on the panel. So do stay with us. I'm Wallace Chapman. 4 to 5 right here at the panel.